This is going to be one of these messages where I'm off the cuff now, Jason, for a little while. But I feel like I need to talk to teenagers. I watched a movie yesterday, Not Ashamed, and it blew me away about the life of Rachel Scott, who gave her life in Columbine in 1999. And I felt like the Lord really impressed on my heart to start out talking to teenagers, just to encourage you, pour into you, because we love you. And we want nothing else but the best for you. We want you to be so full of the things of God that when you get in your young adult years, that you understand the Word of God, you have a passion for God. And because I see what's going on in the college campuses. And if you're a parent that has a kid, I'd be scared to death. I would be scared to death. So I wanted to give you a couple scriptures if you have your phone with you, because I know you do everything on the phone now. We got a girl texting right now. Praise God. Are you texting God? Oh, okay, that's cool. That's cool. That's all right. That's all right. Hey, that's all right. Seriously. Use the phone for His glory. And just a couple verses that I feel like the Lord wants me to share, because they're very important. This book is never going to change. Never. It's always going to be there. It was written by the Holy Spirit into the writers. So I want you to understand that we're pulling for you. We're fighting for you. We study for you. We got a youth pastor here that wants nothing else but to see you grow in your walk. He wants nothing else but to see you be so passionate for God that when you walk into your schools and your classrooms, they see Christ in you. They see a humility in you. They see mercy in you and grace in you. So he says this, Paul is teaching this young guy named Timothy. And he says, for the time is coming where people will not endure sound teaching. Just turn on the news, man. Just turn on the news. Will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. I'm telling you, man, there are professors and so-called teachers in colleges now that are tenured, that are doing everything they can to keep you away from having a relationship with God, to tell you that money and prestige and power and Beyonce, and I try not to use words, just people's names, to take you away from the things of God. And it says, to accumulate for them teachers to suit your own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. In chapter 3, verse 7, it says, they will always be learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. I'm telling you, every one of you teenagers have heroes. I know it. I had heroes when I was growing up. You probably wouldn't know their names because they're all dead, but sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But always learning, but never arrive to the knowledge of the truth. Just a couple more places. Ephesians 6. No. Let's stay in 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, teenagers, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. I'm in 2 Timothy 3:14. Maybe you want to write these down and check them out later on to see if I'm lying to you or not. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. There are your parents. A lot of your parents are sitting right over here or behind you and stuff. They know they have an obligation. They know they've been called to teach you the things of God, to live the things of God out to you, but get you into the Word of God. Your parents make mistakes. And I hear you all saying amen. Your parents make mistakes. There's no doubt about it. I make mistakes every day. I hate it. I hate it making mistakes. But stay true. Respect authority. Listen to your parents, whether you believe it or not. And you might not believe it when I tell you this. Your parents were your age at one time. It's unbelievable. It's a known fact. You can't talk your way around it. They've been there before. Ephesians 6. I guess I'm supposed to be telling you this because every one of you are going to be taught things or you've been enticed by things. It's going to take you away from the things of God. And he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Seriously, I had this 8-minute video I was going to show you today of Billy Bob Thornton coming up in this bulldozer to go down the church, to break down the church in the apostle, if you ever seen the apostle. And I thought, man, just give him the word. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers, the ESV uses, over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When you see all those people out there protesting and marching, that's flesh and blood. That's flesh and blood trying to get their way, or they're trying to make some, you know, new fangled theme thing to follow. Beyonce, whatever. That's the second time I've used her name. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, turn off your video game. Oh, wait, that's in the message. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. It's very important that you stand up in this generation. One more place I want you to write down. 2 Corinthians. These are verses that have meant a lot to me through the years. I got to yell at teenagers all the time. It's unbelievable that Sue Thornbro is sitting in this place today, because I had the blessing of Kathy and I, because she raised her grandkids. She raised her grandkids, and I got to pour, and they kept saying, yell at Richard, give him the word, give him the word. Praise God. Verses that will help you for the rest of your life. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have the divine power to destroy strongholds. You're seeing a lot of strongholds being presented to you, but we have the power to destroy that. It says in verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. Every lofty opinion. Say that with me. Every lofty opinion raised up on MSNBC, CNN, you know all the channels, and take every captive thought to obey Christ. Seriously, you are going to wake up one day and think you know everything and your parents know nothing. Don't believe that. Don't go by that. Don't take friends and ideologies and philosophies over the Word of God. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, beware lest anyone cheat you with philosophy and empty deceits according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. When you're seeing people at Berkeley, I tried to find out how much it costs to go there. I can't imagine. If my kid, if my young adult 20-year-old was out there marching, and I can solve all this. And I said a couple years ago, go to class. Go to class. Learn. Forget all this mumbo-jumbo stuff. Nothing stops our God. There's nothing is going to be able to stop Him. No amount of philosophy, no amount of people marching, no amount of ideologies of trying to take the things away from God, no amount of hugging trees, no amount of... Nothing stops our God. Nothing stops His gospel. Don't write off the church. That's what today is all about. Some people already have. You have many people that you probably talk to in school to think you're crazy that you go to church. That you're crazy, that you're faithful to the things of God. There's a lot of people that say they like Jesus, but there's no point to the church for them. And as far as they're concerned, the church is a failed institution. And I came here today to say I disagree with that. The church is the foundation of America. The church is a foundation of where Christ works through His people to make a difference in His generation. 1944, I wasn't born yet. C.S. Lewis wrote this. When I first became a Christian about 14 years ago, I thought that I could do it on my own. By retiring to my rooms and reading theology, and I wouldn't go to the churches and the gospel halls. That's what they called them back there, gospel halls. I disliked very much their hymns, which I consider to be fifth-rate poems set to fifth, sixth-rate music. But as I went on, I saw the great merit of it, C.S. Lewis wrote. I came up against different people of quite different outlooks and different education, and then gradually my conceit just began peeling off. I realized that the hymns, and then he put again, which were sixth-rate music. Now, I wouldn't say that with this team. They're top-notch, man. Were nevertheless being sung with devotion and benefit by an old saint in elastic side boots in the opposite pew. And then you realize that you aren't fit to clean those boots. That's the way I want to live my life. It gets you out of your solidary conceit. When you think about the church, I mean, you automatically think about Sunday. Some of you come sometimes. Some of you come just Christmas and Easter, and we love to call them Creasters and stuff. But if you look in the Old Testament, I mean, he lays it out. Moses said this, and it's entitled The Sabbath. The Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Community Christian Fellowship and say, above all, keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy to you. The prophet Isaiah said this, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call Sabbath a delight and the holy day honorable, then the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talk idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and it will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's God telling us how important the Sabbath is to Him. The prophet Ezekiel said, and keep my Sabbaths holy that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Next week when you're in here and you look at people walking here, you look at them and say, man, they must think the Lord is holy. They must think that that's a sign. Hey, they love God. They're here today. They love God. They care about the Sabbath. Hebrews, New Testament, same thing. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Somebody in staff, well, I'll tell you who it was, Melissa Leveling. A few weeks ago, we were just talking about this generation. And Melissa said, you know what this generation needs? Hope. You know what they're lacking? Hope. You know why they're picketing? Hope. You know why they're marching? They don't have any hope, and they're looking for something to believe in and something to put their faith in and something to put their heart in. But we get to tell them the truth. We get to tell them about Christ. We get to tell them about Jesus. We get to tell them about the Word. So He's calling us in the New Testament, hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering, for He who promises faithful. We serve a faithful God. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good work. I pray every week that the message does that. I pray that whoever's speaking up here is doing that, spurring you on to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. For some people, it's hard to be faithful. It's hard to realize that every Sunday when I get up, man, I want it to be a sign between me and God that I'm going to go to His house and get into His Word and fellowship with other people and learn and grow and then take the things I'm learning and go outside these walls and make a difference for Him. The movie that I saw, that Kathy and I saw yesterday, was Not Ashamed, the story of Rachel Scott, who was killed in Columbine. What a life she lived. And she only lived, how old was she, Kathy? 17 when she got killed that day. But she wanted nothing else. And yes, she had problems. She went through things. But she wanted nothing else but make the Lord known to her friends. And I hope you have that desire too. I hope you have that urgency inside of you. The word church is used 113 times in the Bible. And I thought to myself, well, maybe the problem is that people don't know who Jesus really is. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples a question. Now, when Jesus came in the district of Caesarea Philippi, and it's so wild that we just finished going through Philippians, he can't get away from it. Here's Philippi again. He asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Can you imagine asking your friends in school that? Hey, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think the Son of Man is? And the Bible says, he said, some said John the Baptist, others said Elijah, others said Jeremiah, one of the prophets. I was going to say something funny, but it would go against the scriptures. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Jesus looked him right in the eyes. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So we pray. We pray. Why? Why? Because God is calling us here, and our theme here is care enough. Care enough, 2017. He's calling us to care enough that God, who is in the heaven, reveals this to others, and that He would use us, speak through us, because we are His ambassadors. Community Christian Fellowship, His church, is though He is making His appeal through us. You see it in the verse that I brought up a couple weeks ago. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ. God is making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, He is wants to make His appeal through you. Say that. He wants to make His appeal through you. Whether you're in school, whether you're at a job, whether your neighborhoods. Then I ask myself the question, what would make CCF come alive in a mighty way? And I put this in your listening guide, by all of us becoming ambassadors that worship Him, by gathering and growing and going with our hearts and minds and feet fitted with the gospel. The church is far from a lost cause. In reality, the church is unstoppable. And that's why I asked Amber to sing that song. Unstoppable because of the followers of Christ. We have been given an unstoppable power. And that power is the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of God. The church becomes unstoppable because we have the very Spirit of God. How can you say that, Nick? Let me give you some passages. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor know Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. When you see those people marching, when you see those people denigrating property and God and stuff, you got to realize they don't have the Spirit of God in them. But you've been called and chosen and blessed and filled with the Spirit of God to go out and make a difference and go out and share with them. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to the remembrance all that I've said to you. If anybody asked you, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? What does he do? These verses are it. 15:26, but when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father will bear witness about me. John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, here we go now. Seven times he uses the word he will. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He goes to the Father and gets the words and brings them to us. He speaks to us. He speaks through his word. He speaks through your youth. He speaks through adults. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's something to shout about. That's something to get up every day about, that he actually wants to use you and your heart and your mind and your life to declare the things from the Father so that you can make a difference for him in this generation. He will glorify me. The Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you all that the Father has mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the church becomes unstoppable because of the Spirit of God. Next, the church becomes unstoppable because we've been given an unstoppable mission. Another quote from C.S. Lewis. He's like getting to be one of my favorites, man. C.S. Lewis said this, "He, Jesus, works on us in all sorts of ways. Through nature, through our own bodies, through books, sometimes through experience, which seem at first anti-Christian. But above all, he works on us through each other." He writes, "Men are mirrors or carriers of Christ to other men. Sometimes unconscious carriers. Sometimes we don't even realize. But if you're out there living the life, you're making an example and you're a testimony for him. And you might not even realize you're doing it. But you're so full of the things of God, you want nothing but the things of God coming out of you. Therefore, you're making a difference." And so if we had this unstoppable mission, what is it? And he wrote to the church at Ephesus this, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens." I'm talking to people here that know the Lord, love the Lord, and want to make a difference in your life for him. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, the whole house, the whole temple being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Think about it. When you come in here and you're part of a community group, or you come in here with the ladies on Tuesday or Wednesday, or the guys on Wednesday and Saturday, you're being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. One commentary I read said, "The description of a building under construction conveys a sense of dynamic growth of the church." The temple that Paul uses, the metaphor of the temple, therefore indicating the purpose for what God has established for his church. So we're filled with the Spirit. We have this unstoppable mission, and we also have an unstoppable message. What's the message? It's the gospel. It's the good news. If you read the book of Acts, and we've been going through certain parts of Acts on Wednesday night, if you read the book of Acts, you go on a journey through the early and exciting days of the church, and you discover what made the early church so powerful, so unstoppable. As the book of Acts open and you read chapter 1 and chapter, especially in chapter 1, you see a room full of huddled, scared disciples who were completely powerless and uncertain of the future. And then in Acts chapter 2, when he gives us the Holy Spirit, and Peter just stands up and starts just pouring out really the first gospel message given in the New Testament in verse 36. Six, he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brother, what shall we do? Some versions of the Bible said they came running to Peter. What do we have to do? Because their heart was so filled. So it says cut to the heart. And they saw something. They heard something. They saw something that they'd never seen before. What should we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise of His Word. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And don't you want that every Sunday? For the Lord to be calling somebody, tugging at their heart and realizing, man, you need me. You can't do it on your own. You might be sitting in here and you're suffering by something that's taken you away from God. Whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's, you know, anything, lottery, Beyonce, I don't know. That's the third time. That's taking you away from the things of God. And He's calling you. He's calling you now. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And it says, with many other words, He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received His word were baptized. I don't know, how did He do it? There weren't any microphones back then. But 3,000 people gave their heart to Christ that day. That meant the Spirit was moving in a mighty way. That meant a lot of people took the pride or everything that they had and thought, I need Christ. I need Him. And that's the message. And now I hope that He's calling. And if you have that message, He says in 2 Corinthians, I know nothing else but just to give you Scripture, just to pour Scripture into you. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we renounce disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by an open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone conscious in the sight of God. So if we want to say that we care enough, if we put it on our banners out front, if we put it in the signs around the church that we want to care enough, we can't lose heart. When we see the things going downhill, when you see the generation spiraling out of control, don't lose heart. Just renounce those disgraceful and underhanded ways. Refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Commend yourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So then the question becomes, why are so many people powerless today? Why are so many people uncertain with the generation and see the sin just coming just in people's lives, the number one thing? And it says, even if our gospel is veiled, a veil to those who are perishing, in case the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we proclaim to you not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. We're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to be there for one another. We're supposed to reach out to one another. So if we care enough, we proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with yourself as servants for Jesus' sake. Your marriage might be in trouble today. And what is God calling you to do? Pour into your spouse. Pour into God. Pray. Ask Him to reveal things, not only in her heart or his heart, but your own heart. Because when we become empowered with the unstoppable Holy Spirit, the unstoppable mission, the unstoppable message, we become effective men and women advancing throughout the world, proclaiming the unstoppable gospel that we can turn the world upside down. All right, so that's my introduction. You ready to go now? How do we become empowered? Because I have to encourage you, I have to challenge you to do something. How do we become empowered? How do we become effective? How do we become unstoppable in order to advance the kingdom of God? I'm going to give it to you. My second favorite chapter in the Bible is Colossians chapter 3. My other favorite one was Romans chapter 1 because it just seized the declining and the spiraling down of the world. I'm going to give you 17 verses in 17 minutes. Praise God. If then you have been raised with Christ, you want to become empowered, effective, unstoppable, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Think about it. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So you see the things I put in your listening, God. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things on above. Now I got a little story from my buddy Tony Evans. Kathy and I met him. We shook his hand. We gave it a hug. Tony says, many people are only interested in organic food now. Anybody here? Praise God. Nobody. Hey, praise God. I'm still doing Lita's. Praise God. Many people are only interested in organic food now. They don't eat other stuff because it's been sprayed with pesticides. Nowadays, doctors and the media alike are telling us that the traditional way our food is grown, an attempt to grow it quickly and protect it from the damages resulting in an accumulation of pesticides and contaminates to the consumers. There are markets now like Whole Foods. I look over at my doll because that's her favorite hangout now, where it's possible to buy food that has not been so contaminated by man. When I went in there the first time with God, they said, where's the sodas at, man? Where's the Coke Zero? Nothing. Praise God. I know. I do feel better. Anyway, man has been spraying pesticides on vegetables and fruits for years in an attempt to fix a problem. But he has only created a new problem. The pesticides are full of chemicals that, when introduced to the human body, can be very damaging. If man would just leave it alone, Tony said, and let God do his thing, all of a sudden things are healthy because man's not messing it up. And when we've allowed man to spray the pesticides of this world on our souls, then we wonder why our hearts don't work right. There's a lot of pesticide going on in colleges. A lot of pesticides being spread, false things. But if we go back to God, Tony says, and stop being double-minded, we'll find out that God knows what He's doing. How did people eat before we started spraying all this stuff? God knew what He was doing before, and He knows what He's doing now. All we have to do is allow Him to do His thing and stop trying to contaminate what He is in the business of perfecting. Verses 5 through 11. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly to you. Here we go, teenagers. Here we go, adults. If I want to live my Christian life, what am I supposed to put to death? What am I supposed to get rid of? Caden, you came back right in the right time, man. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Anybody's picture coming in your mind when I'm reading those words I've said? Never mind. Thank you. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. I mean, that's the promise of God's Word. If you want to live your life in those things, the wrath of God will be coming. In these, you too walked once. And believe me, we're all sinners. We've all done those things. We've all been there. I would be fooling myself to think that I was any better than anybody else in here, because we're all sinners saved by grace. And we used to walk these ways. We used to not know the Lord. That's why it's so important that we have passion and desire to make a difference out there, because we used to be them. We used to be unbelievers. But now you must put them all away. Here we go. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, are you the new self or old self? Praise God. The new self is which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all. Christ is all and is in all. So how do you become empowered? How do you become effective? How do you become unstoppable in order to advance the kingdom of God? Because that's what God is calling the church to do. To advance the kingdom of God. To pour into the kingdom of God. To serve. To give. Put to death what is earthly in you. All of them. Put off the old self and his practices. Put on the new self with his practices. Now we get to the good part. 12 through 15. Put on then, adults, teenagers, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved. Here's what we're supposed to walk with. Here's what makes us unstoppable on that mission and our message. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another one, what do you think God wants us to do? Forgive. Thank you for saying that. Who yelled that out? I'm giving you a free car today. Praise God. No, we're going to give you that church truck. I'm only kidding you, man. Praise God. Praise God. Forgiving each other. Why? Because the Lord has forgiven you. You must also forgive. I love this new mic. A couple weeks ago, we did 2 bags of popcorn when I was using that mic. Pop, pop, pop. Anyway, praise. Nobody got that. Above all else, the Lord has forgiven you. You also must forgive. And above all this, above all that stuff, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So you see number 6 and 7, above all those things, put on love. Let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly. The last 2 verses. I'm doing good, man. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Was that a prideful statement? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms. The band come up, man. We got to sing. Hymns, spiritual song, thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything. When I count to 3, say, do everything. 1, 2, 3. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. So the story of the unstoppable gospel continues today. It's the story as the members of this church, His church, Community Christian Fellowship, we become unstoppable because we have the very Spirit of God. We have an unstoppable mission. We have an unstoppable message. And we care enough. Praise God. Whew. Ushers, come forward. I still have a couple more things I need to spur on, but let's take an offering, man. I don't want anybody walking out. Praise God. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, I just love this place. It is such an honor and a blessing to be able to come and share your truth, Father. I want to pour into these people the things you've been pouring into me, and I know you're using them to pour into their children, into their teenagers. And Father, I pray, and I'm just thankful for the teenagers that are here, Father. I just pray that they will be faithful. Just like He's calling us to be faithful. Everyone seated in the sanctuary, don't write off the church. The church is a place where we come together. It's like our base. It's like our home base, where we come together and pour into each other and pray for one another and give our offering and our tithe to the Lord, because we want to make a difference for Him in our lives. Father, help us to realize that each one of us will stand before You and give an account for the things done in the body, the good things and the bad things. So, Father, we just want to live our lives in pursuit of You, seeking You, wanting You, making a difference for you, Father. That's what we want to do, Father. And as we sing today, Father, as we worship today, as we give our offering today, Father, I just pray that you're knocking on the door and you're calling somebody and say, hey, go up to the altar. Pray for your wife. Go up to the altar. Pray for your husband. Go up to the altar. Pray for your friends at school. Pray for the people at your work. Because God wants us to be ambassadors. He wants to make His appeal through us. He's using us to make Him known in this crooked and perverse generation that we live in right now, Father. I want to live my life like Rachel Scott did. I want to give my life for you, God. I want everything I do to be pleasing in your sight, Father. I want that passion, and I want to pass that passion along because you're calling us to do that, Father. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.